Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars.
Good evening and welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast as we have an off-season edition of the show and a wrap-up of the Stanley Cup Finals, which... was probably the least entertaining finals I can remember, but it happens. What do you do? There's nothing you can do.
I'm trying to think of another finals in my lifetime that was really, really boring.
Who did New Jersey sweep? Like,
oh,
early
2000s.
That was bad.
The 2003 one was, that went seven. That was against the Ducks. That was a really good one.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking, I don't one, know. There was one in the
2020, Dallas and Tampa. It was, I wouldn't say it was boring, but it wasn't entertaining.
That was in the bubble too. That one sucked.
2015, Chicago versus Tampa. That wasn't very close either. Chicago won that in five.
I don't know. I'm just happy Vegas won because now maybe they can.
Oh, you know what was the most boring finals in my lifetime? Was LA beating the New Jersey Devils in five games in 2012. That was the most boring finals that I've ever seen.
Yeah, I don't know. This year was just kind of eh. But I'm glad Vegas won. They can move on now. I remember sitting at the NHL Awards show in the media when Foley said we're going to win a cup in 6 years, and I remember thinking to that, this guy is delusional.
He's right.
Everybody said
playoffs in three, cup in six.
Everybody in the whole media room thought that, I guess. Oh, well.
They made the playoffs in one, made a cup in one, and then they won the cup in six. He was bang on. I actually forgot about that until I saw that tweet.
You know, I just wonder now, though, what happens. Like, there are so many questions on that team. I mean, I know they're not thinking about it now, but next week they'll start thinking about it. And there's a lot of question marks on that team.
Well, I mean, yeah, they had a fucking $96 million cap in the playoffs. Like, and the cap's going up, what, $1.5 million?
Million.
So, let's see.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, they just got a lot of decision making. I don't even know who's going to be playing goalie for them next year, but.
So that's
probably a topic for another show since we have about 95 things to talk about today.
Yeah, but like, so Aiden Hill is a free agent. They got to make a decision on him, but they also got Thompson for next year. Like, most of their team is back.
Yeah,
like,
but who are they going to fake an injury on?
But I know. Like, obviously Leonard's $6 million helps on LTIR. You're gonna have to make a decision though for sure.
Yeah,
that happens with every team. Like, right, every team. Like, look at Chicago. Like, they won the cup that first year. They had to get rid of Andrew Ladd, Dustin Byfuglien. Like you're gonna lose guys, right? You mean, yeah, it's just that happens.
How funny is Brady Tkachuk's wedding gonna be when Mark Stone and Matthew Tkachuk are? Groomsman.
Yeah, that's going to be a pretty awkward wedding
party. It won't even be awkward. It will not be awkward.
It won't be awkward. It'll be good. They're good buddies.
These guys are hockey players, man. They're just, it's a different breed.
I laugh when people try to argue with me and say, oh, football players are tougher than hockey players. I'm just like, okay. And then the list comes out. That's the first thing I can't wait for was when the list comes out of injuries. Like Ekblad playing with a broken foot and two dislocated shoulders. Matthew Tkachuk playing game four with a broken sternum. Like, that's just ridiculous. And Montour playing with a torn labrum. Like, that's just absurd. Hockey players, the toughest players on the planet, put their body on the line every single day. And, it was a gutsy effort by the Panthers. Obviously, they ran out of gas and that was pretty evident come the finals. Like, they had to run the gauntlet through the East. Remember what I said? I think we both said it, actually. Whoever comes out of the East isn't going to win the cup because they they're going to have to go through so much to get to the finals. They're going to be out of steam, right?
Vegas didn't have all that easy of a road either.
Yeah, but Vegas didn't have to go through the President's Trophy, Boston Bruins, the second place Toronto Maple Leafs, and then the team that won the President, or the team that was second in the East last year in the Hurricanes. Like that,
no, I know. They deserved every minute. They deserved everything. Yeah, I mean,
so
Florida went through hell to get here. I mean, no doubt about it. But I mean, I don't know. It was just an interesting final. But I watching the Florida run. Yeah. Made me, if you said to me, what was your thoughts on the playoffs as a whole? Excellent. Excellent. This was an amazing year of hockey in the playoffs. This is some really, really good hockey.
Yeah, probably one of the best first rounds in recent memory that I can remember. It was four game sevens, five game sevens, something like that.
I don't think it was that many.
Well, I think it was four. Didn't we have two on the same night?
Yeah, but I think there was only three, but I could be
wrong. No, but the second round was okay. Third round was good. Then obviously the finals was pretty boring. Wasn't really that interested, or as interested. I wasn't as invested, I should say.
I was right. We had three game sevens.
Okay.
In round one.
But yeah.
All right.
Yeah, no, it was a good playoffs for sure.
Lots to talk about on the show today. We got to talk about, we'll put a wrap on the Stanley Cup Finals. We got to go around the league, a bunch of coach hires. We got to go through that. Some Babcock talk, Dubas, Caulfield signs. There's some trades we got to roll through. Doan is headed to Toronto, and does anybody care if the Ottawa Senators get sold? All right, Stanley Cup Finals. We'll roll through the games real quick. Game one, Vegas wins 5-2 in a game that, I don't know. Stahl scores shorthanded right away, and I'm like, okay, Florida. I was worried about the layover. You know, there was a big break for the Panthers. And I don't know. They got out right away, and then things went back and forth, and Hill made some key saves. I remember a tic-tac-toe passing play. For Florida,
stick save,
unbelievable.
That would have been a 2-0 lead. That really changed the whole game, to be honest. Because the first game, if I remember, Vegas was kind of on their heels a little bit. You know, they looked a little nervous in front of the crowd. Then Hill made that save, and then it just kind of energized the whole team.
And Duclair makes that huge, huge goal with 10 seconds to go in the second, I believe it was. And I'm like, all right, Florida's back in this. Things did a little bit unravel in.
But then the first 40 seconds of the third, Vegas scored. So they kind of just got rid of it.
What did you think of that 4-2 goal that Stone picked it out of the air? I thought that looked like a high stick.
It looked like a high stick. It looked like it was above his shoulder.
It obviously doesn't change the series at all. But, I mean,
she might have changed the game.
Well, it
would have. I made it a two-goal game.
It did
put the game out of reach. But
it was late, though. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that guy had such a good series. I mean, that guy was really good.
Game two was a train wreck. Vegas wins 7-2. Early penalties for Florida just buried them. And Gudas gets knocked out. I thought that was a headshot. Did you not? I thought if Barbashev hits any other player other than Gudas,
I think
there's a suspension.
I didn't think it was. I didn't think it was a headshot, but it was definitely interference. Like the guy, Gudas doesn't have the puck.
He hit him right in the head. His shoulder was right in the head, though.
He braced for contact, That's textbook interference. I don't care what you say. Like if a player doesn't have the puck, how can you just mow him over like that? I love Barbashev. He's one of my favorite players to watch, and I hope Vancouver signs him. I am praying to God.
Why is this going to Vancouver?
I'm manifesting it.
Yeah,
been linked all year.
You have no money, okay? You have no money. All right, moving on to more important things than the lowly Vancouver Canucks. I don't know. I thought that was a headshot. Then later on in the game, Tkachuk drills Eichel on a completely clean check. 100% completely clean. And Eichel looked rattled. I want to know, though, why the hell does Matthew Tkachuk get a 10-minute misconduct for a completely legal check on Eichel, and then he gets jumped?
10-minute misconducts in the first two games.
Why why does he get a 10-minute misconduct for that hit?
I guess it was like he didn't get it for the hit. It was for the scrum bullshit.
For getting jumped? For getting jumped. He got 10 minutes for getting jumped.
Pretty much.
Shitty call. It was a bad call.
It was an unreal hit, and Eichel put himself in a really bad spot. He should have bailed. If he was going to bail, he should have bailed out. He bailed forward right into kind of his shoulder. But it was a clean shoulder hit. Doesn't get any better than that.
Game three. Florida does come back in a game that I didn't think they would even have a sniff, but they come back and win 3-2 in overtime. The game back in Florida. Florida's crowd is rocking. Gudas does play. Back and forth game. Marshall's so unbelievable. Tkachuk ties it with 2 minutes to go on great net front presence. And Vegas gets a power play that bleeds into overtime in minute 49.
They got a phantom power play. Or tripping when Barkov did not even touch him. He did not touch him. That's one of my biggest pet peeves. Listen to what I'm gonna say. Is when the ref 5 feet away from the play doesn't call it, literally right in front of him, but the ref 50 feet behind him. Yep, that's tripping. How can you see that? How can you see that from the far blue line? Tell me that. When the ref 5 feet in front of you doesn't call it, it drives me insane. He didn't even touch him. It was so bad.
It happens. You're gonna get those both ways though. They work out.
I know, but the cup finals, 11 seconds left,
they're not gonna be perfect. They're human beings.
I would just rather them let the players decide it. If they called two penalties a game, I wouldn't be mad. I'd rather watch 5-on-5 than power play fest, right? Would you? You like a bunch of power plays? I don't.
Well, if they're penalties, yes. I mean, you can't not call penalties because it's a playoffs, Blake. You're saying the exact opposite you said when the playoffs started. When the playoffs started, you said, you got to call the rule book the same. Blake,
I said you got to call it, but it's got to be consistent.
So we're not calling trips now because we don't want on power plays?
But it wasn't a trip. He didn't touch him. He tripped over air.
He thought it was a trip. I mean, you're not going to get every call right. You're just not going to get every call right.
I understand the game's fast and whatnot. I get it. But the amount of tic-tac penalties that our preseason penalties, realistically, are brutal. There were so many of them.
They let them play a ton in the playoffs. A ton. Okay.
I thought there was way too many penalties.
Verhaeghe scores 4 minutes into overtime. Tkachuk again, screening Hill, gets in on the play. Game four. And this was a game, I don't want to say do or die for Florida because it wasn't do or die, but it really needed to be a good game for them. And Vegas jumps right out to a 3-0 lead. Florida does fight back. Barkov is a great goal. Gets it to 3-2. Lots of chances in the final minute, final 2 minutes.
Yep.
They couldn't bury it. Then there's a scrum at the whistle that, I don't know. Is there anything that's been more overblown in this playoffs than that scrum at the end of the whistle?
At the end of the game? Yes. Well, they talked about Petrangelo leaving the penalty box.
The guy opened the door for him.
Huh?
The guy opened the door.
Yeah, I know.
Game was over. I just didn't see a big deal with it.
Tkachuk came in there like full Phil Kessel.
No, it wasn't. It was not. It was not Tkachuk. That was not Tkachuk.
Who was it then?
That was Cousins. That was not Tkachuk that came in from the top.
I'll have to go back and look.
No, excuse me. It was not even Cousins. It was a defenseman.
It was a left-handed.
Go look.
It
was not Matthew Tkachuk.
I thought it was Tkachuk.
Matthew Tkachuk was to the right side of the net when that happened.
Right side of the net? That was at center ice that happened.
No, it wasn't.
And that was in the neutral zone, right by the blue line.
No, when the buzzer came, the puck was in front of the net, and the guy came from the blue line in and creamed one of their defensemen. Creamed White Cloud, I believe.
Oh.
Wasn't it center ice?
The scrum was in. Back and look.
Yeah. Game five. I hardly watched the game. I had it on in the background, was doing other things. I'm not watching a 9-3 game with a goalie pulled 6 minutes to go in the game. I'm not watching that.
No, I forget what I was doing. I was doing something, and I was like, oh shit, like the game's on, right? I turn it on, sorry, 2-0. I'm like, what? What is going on here? And then it was 4-0, and then it was 4-1, 5-1, 6-1, and I'm like, I'm turning this off. Like, this is slaughter fest.
No Matthew Tkachuk, as he was not able to play in game five.
Broke his sternum. I kind of get why he didn't play.
Yeah, but we didn't know that, Blake, and that's why
we didn't know. Tkachuk didn't play. And obviously, like, Tkachuk's a tough guy. Like, he's not a little bitch. He ain't gonna sit out of the finals for nothing. Like,
Jonathan Marchessault gets the Conn Smythe. Original Golden Knight comes through in the end 6 years later. That was kind of a nice story to see.
How crazy is it that Marchessault and Leon Draisaitl had the same amount of goals in the playoffs, and Draisaitl only played 2 rounds? That is just absurd to me.
Well, it's called
like that teams. That is insane.
Okay, that's called teams versus individuals.
But I'm saying, like, just that, think about that.
That's what makes
think about that.
That's what makes the NHL great.
Two more rounds than Draisaitl, and they had the same amount of goals.
That's what makes the NHL great and the NBA not.
I'm just saying that that's a wild stat, Brad.
It is. All I'm saying. It is. And he had a great. He scored so many clutch goals. He came through big.
Marchessault.
He did. Yeah.
He was good.
He came through.
It was big. He's either him or Stone.
Yeah.
That's what it was going to be. I thought Stone might have got it. Stanley Cup clinching hat trick. I'm like, I would have gave it to Marchessault too.
Yeah, me too. All right, time to go around the league. All right, lots of talk about coach hires like crazy. Anaheim hires Craig Cronin. Did you know who Craig Cronin was?
I will be 100% honest with you. I had to look him up.
I had to look him up too. And I'm not even embarrassed to say that.
I knew that he was an assistant in Toronto. I did know that, but I didn't know anything else about him.
I'm not even embarrassed to say that. Calgary Flames hire Ryan Huska, and the New York Rangers hire Peter Laviolette.
Yeah, I gotta ask you a question on Ryan Huska, okay? This is the first thing that came to mind for me, okay? So this guy is known as a defense coach, right? Would that be fair to say? Defense first?
Aren't most coaches that are successful defense first?
Okay, so this guy...
I know Vancouver coaches are offense first, but then you don't make the playoffs.
So this guy... Okay, we're not talking about that stuff. Anyways... So, the Calgary Flames players bitched and whined to get rid of Sutter because they didn't want to play for him anymore. So, my question to you is, why would you hire a guy that was working under Sutter and kind of coaches in a similar
aspect? No, he doesn't coach in a similar aspect.
I'm just saying, he's a defensive first, all about details. But I'm just saying, like, he worked under Sutter. Why wouldn't you want some, like, fresh blood, a new voice in there rather than a guy that worked under Sutter?
Here's a couple.
That the players did not like.
Here's a couple of reasons. Ryan Huska has coached most of these players when they were in Stockton. He has a great relationship with the players. I get that. He is not like Daryl Sutter. He is a
I didn't say he's just, like him.
Can I finish a sentence, please?
Okay.
He's details-oriented, which is what you need to be successful in coaching. He preaches defense first, which is what you need to be successful in the National Hockey League. And he's also open with offensive creativity. He coached under Sutter. He coached under Jeff Ward. He coached under Bill Peters. He coached under one other one. I can't remember who it was. he has got a ton of experience, and it's his turn. Is hiring the retread coach working in the National Hockey League? No.
Well, okay, I was just thinking, like, what about Mitch Love? Like,
okay, well, Mitch Love is...
Are they going to make him an assistant?
Possibly. Mitch Love has zero coaching experience. Is this the right time to have a coach with zero coaching experience?
Well, I mean...
Zero NHL experience.
You got to start... How do you get experience? By coaching.
By being an assistant, though, right? Just like Ryan Huska did. Boom, boom, boom. Step-by-step process.
Well, they better be careful because I think a team's going to pick him up if they
They can't pick him up because he's under contract for one more year.
Okay, but teams aren't going to get in the way of a guy getting promoted, Brad. That always is never a thing.
Okay.
They're never going to stand in the way of that.
So what are you supposed to do, Blake? Hire the guy with less experience?
You got to promote him to assistant coach to keep him or else he's leaving.
That's probably what'll happen.
Because So, what other assistants do they have on that bench?
Right now they have none. Ryan Huska is hiring assistant coaches.
Okay.
That's how it usually goes. You hire your crew.
No, I know. I was just wondering if they clean house like all of them.
Everybody's contract expires on July 1st.
Okay.
Everybody's.
I was just curious.
Peter Laviolette.
What was the other Peter Laviolette? Another reuse recycle what you were talking about. This is what I think he's coached every Metro team except the Blue Jackets.
And I think he's a good coach, but
we'll get to them in a second here. Oh baby, what a alert that was on the old cellular device.
What's that?
Mike Babcock getting hired in Columbus. That was not on my bingo card for the old offseason.
It was on mine because didn't I say that he'd be back? And I also said Joel Quenneville will be back. Yeah, but
you didn't think that was going to be in Columbus. I'll tell you that for sure.
No, who did?
I don't know. I just like Columbus. Columbus.
Well, it's not official. It's not official.
Well, his contract expires at the end of June with Toronto. He's got 1 year left. So, let's hop into the Columbus trades here quick while we're talking about it. I thought the Provorov trade was really good. I thought it was a win-win for everybody involved, even the LA Kings to get out of that Cal Peterson contract and free up enough cap to re-sign Gavrikov, which is huge for them. He's a really good fit for the Kings. So I think it was just a win-win for everybody.
The best player in it is Provorov, and he will do well in Columbus.
Yeah, no, like Provorov. Who else did they get, too? They got another defense, but I'm drawing a blank here.
It was a sign and a trade. The Devils signed Damon Severson to an 8-year, $6.25 million deal and traded him for a third-round pick. I think that's a high salary for him. I could be wrong. That's high.
Yeah, but what they're trying to do here, they're bringing Babcock, right? Provorov, Severson, those are two win-now moves. You got the third overall pick. Listen, call me crazy. It would not surprise me.
They're not trading.
If I was the Calgary Flames, I would trade Lindholm for that third overall pick right now.
Why? Then we don't have a number one center. Then what?
You take a 6'3" Leo Carlson, who's your center next year. He'd be a number one center next year.
No, he won't.
No?
No. How many guys come right out of juniors and are number one centers on quality hockey teams? Maybe on shitty hockey teams, not on quality hockey teams.
He's playing in the Sweden Hockey League right now.
I don't care. He's not stepping in to be a number one center on a playoff team. He might be on a non-playoff team. He ain't on a playoff team.
He's good, dude.
I might go number two. I am saying
I don't know.
He is not a number one center on a playoff team. He may be on a shitty Anaheim Ducks team, but he isn't on a playoff team.
It would not surprise me if Columbus did trade that pick because they're in win now mode, and you're going to get a lot of good hauls for that.
How are they in win now
mode? You don't go out and sign Johnny Gaudreau, to an 8-year contract. You don't sign Severson to an 8-year contract. You don't trade for Provorov, who only has 2 years left on his contract, if you're not trying to win now.
They don't have any goaltending. I mean, Merzlikins, I'm not a big. I know that you're paying him 5.4 for the end of time.
Do you understand what I'm saying, though? Why are you trading for Provorov, who's only got 2 years left? He's not gonna re-sign there.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. Name me a guy. Name me the last guy other than Johnny Gaudreau that signed long-term in Columbus. I have to look that up.
There's a lot of players that have spoken super highly of Columbus and loved their time in Columbus.
Yeah, okay. But
Rick Nash loved Columbus. There's a ton of players that love it. I don't give a shit if he's a captain. You can be the captain and hate a city. How many captains hated Toronto?
Okay, all I'm saying is there probably isn't a lot of top 5 free agents lining up to sign in Columbus. That's all I'm saying. There's plenty more other places to go than Columbus. Sorry, there is. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, Johnny Gaudreau went there. Because he
didn't want to go in the spotlight anymore, man. He obviously didn't want to play Calgary anymore. He didn't like the spotlight. He went over there and got his $9 million for 8 years, and he's going to go off and ride it in the sunset. We already talked about
that. So there's no other players that want to do that, huh?
I don't know.
There's a lot of them. Yeah, it's getting to be more and more.
But these are two win now moves. And they're going to look to keep adding. You don't bring in Mike Babcock if you're going to rebuild. You think Mike Babcock would want to do a rebuild? No.
I don't think
they're... He already did that once in Toronto.
But you talk about the term rebuild an awful lot on the show.
Or retool, whatever you want to call it.
But most teams aren't going to rebuild anymore. You can't afford to rebuild anymore.
Well,
Philly's probably the only one.
The Jets, you might have to.
No. Why?
So what are you going to do with that core?
Well, you make some moves, right? What do you do with the core in Vancouver? Are you guys going to go into a rebuild?
No, Canucks have a fine core. Yeah. They're locked up for a long time. Winnipeg's not. They expire next year, all of them, except Connors and Ehlers. That's it.
Oh, that's a hell of a start
there. And Morrissey.
That's sure. A hell of a start.
But you don't have a goalie. Who's the goalie?
Well, you don't know what's going to happen with Connor Hellebuck.
He already said he doesn't want to sign an extension.
Okay, let me ask you this question. What does Columbus have that's quality goaltending? I can go down the list.
When did I ever say Columbus was good? Those words did not come out of my mouth.
Well, you said they're in win-now mode.
Is those are win-now moves, which they are.
Okay.
You don't trade for Ivan Provorov 2 years left on his contract if it's not a win-now move.
I mean, I'm not saying that Winnipeg is on an upward trend by any means, but everybody wrote Winnipeg off for the last three years.
Winnipeg's window has been open since 2017.
Yes, and that's really good, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's slammed shut now. It's slammed shut. Okay. The window is slammed shut. Wheeler,
I don't think they rebuilt.
No, I'm not sad. I wouldn't rebuild either.
You just said you would. You're gonna have to
sit down with all those core players, and you're gonna have to make some very hard decisions, right?
Yep.
Hellebuck's got to get traded. If he doesn't want to sign, he has to get moved this summer.
Yep.
Probably at the draft,
and he'll bring a big return.
If you're Columbus, will you trade for Hellebuck?
You can't afford.
You said they need a goalie. Why wouldn't they send the third overall pick and Merzlikins and a prospect to Winnipeg? You wouldn't entertain that?
No, because you're over the cap. Then
how are you over the cap? Hellebuck's not making that much money.
They're at $77 million right now. Hellebuck's making five something, I believe.
You just said Merzlikins is making 5.4.
Who's taking Merzlikins?
Winnipeg will take him back for 1 year left. They need somebody to stop the puck. It's pretty much a salary move. You're trading Hellebuck for the third overall pick is basically what you're doing, and a couple other prospects. I think that would be a no-brainer move for them because then they get either a Fantilli or a Carlson.
Let me ask you a question. A minute ago, you insinuated that the third overall pick could center the Calgary Flames' first line.
Next year, I think he could. Okay, yeah.
So then why couldn't he center the first line in Columbus next year?
But they don't need a center. They don't. They have Sillinger. They have. I'm drawing a blank here. Yeah, well, okay.
Roslovic and Sillinger, are they number one centers?
No.
And they got Kent Johnson too.
Are they any of those number one centers?
Not right now. No.
No. Not even close.
No. But I would rather have a caliber goalie like Hellebuck over Leo Carlson right now. That's all I'm saying. I think that would be a good match for those two teams. I think there's a trade partner there.
You want to put money
on
it?
I'm serious.
No, I don't think anything gets traded in the top 10.
You're maybe right about that, but if there is one team, I think Columbus is the team to keep an eye on at the draft.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
So what's Pittsburgh going to do? Kyle Dubas comes into Pittsburgh now. Yeah. Fenway Sports and Entertainment has hired Kyle Dubas and has made them their president of hockey operations. What happens to the Pittsburgh Penguins?
Okay, so they got $20 million cap space right now. Okay. You don't got to re-sign anybody except Jari. So they got to make a decision on a goalie, right?
Well, that's an easy decision for me.
I wouldn't bring him back.
So is this not a home for Connor Hellebuck?
It could be. Yeah, that's a really good option that you got there for him. I like their top three defense. I think Letang's still got lots left in the tank.
He better, because he's there till the end of time. He's 36 and he's there for five more years. So have fun with that one.
Marcus Pettersson was fine. Jan Rutta is a good guy.
I think Chris Letang is one of the worst signings right now in the league.
I don't know. I wouldn't say that. He's been a Hall of Fame defenseman.
I'm saying at this age, that is not going to age well. And that is a...
Yeah, you're probably right.
It's not going to age well. But you know what I think they're doing on this one? They know Letang's not going to be able to physically do it because of all of his injuries, and he's just going to get shuffled off in the next year or two. LTIR, have a nice day.
This is a good challenge for Dubas. This is a really big challenge for him, right? He's got his job is to try and squeeze one more cup right out of Crosby and Malkin and Letang, right? That's his job. Getting a good caliber goalie is the first thing on his checklist. This team's got good pieces still. You got Crosby, Malkin, Gensel, Brian Rust. You got Ricard Raquel. Jeff Carter's a really good third line center. Let's see, the defense I mentioned. You got Michael Granlund in there. Like, he's making a little bit too much money, but like, it's a good top six. It's a really good top six.
Granlund will be history.
What's that?
Granlund will be history.
Who?
Granlund will be history.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's making $5 million for the next 2 years. That might be a tough one to move, but...
Yeah, they might figure that one out, though. They won't want him there.
Yeah, that was a bonehead move for sure.
Hab signed Caulfield to an 8-year, 7.85 million dollar deal.
This is going to be one of the biggest bargain contracts in the league in 3 years. It is going to be such a good contract for Montreal. I mean, I always say, what did we say with the buff with what St. Louis and Buffalo did, right? You're paying for the player that they're going to be, right? Like, listen, Caulfield was going to score 50 goals this year if he didn't hurt his shoulder. He had 26 goals in 40 games. Like, he was well on pace for 50. This got potential to be one of the best contracts in the whole league.
I have an interesting stat to give you. Do you know that Cole Caulfield last year had a higher? He had a higher goals per game than Jason Robertson, William Nylander, Elias Pettersson, Matthew Tkachuk, Tim Stützle, Timo Meier, Carter Vahegi, Jack Hughes, and Austin Matthews.
Yeah, he's an elite goal scorer, and they locked him up for 8 years at that term. That's unbelievable. Like, props to Ken Hughes for getting that done. I always say, lock up your young studs as long as you can. And they did it the last 2 years with Suzuki and Caulfield. It's a great 1-2 punch that they got building there.
They got to build some strength around it, though.
Yeah, no, they do. They do, and they need Slavkovsky to take another step. They got a lot of good young players, and that's going to be a really good signing.
Doan signed in Toronto as an assistant to Brad Treliving.
Have we talked about Treliving yet?
We talked about that last
month. Okay.
I laughed when I saw this because I read a lot of the
well, it's just an old boys club again.
No, Matt. And that's fine. That's how the whole world operates. But I think Shane Doan will do very, very well in this position. But I had to laugh because I read a lot of what Arizona fans were saying, and it was more of the how can he leave us? And I'm thinking to myself, because it's a train wreck there. Who the hell would want to have their name related to the Arizona Coyotes right now?
No, nobody. I wouldn't. I mean,
players are not signing in Arizona this year.
No, I mean, maybe guys that are like trying to stay in the league, but
yeah. And I guarantee you the no trade list for players. I bet you Arizona's on 98% of them.
Yeah, you're probably right.
They're not going there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Crazy. Ottawa Senators sold to, I don't believe it's official yet.
But it can't be official until he sells a share with the Canadians.
Yes. That's what it is. The price being reported by Pierre LeBrun is $950 million US for the Ottawa Senators.
Which is insane. Like, Forbes had them valued at $700 million and they sold for almost a bill. This is the highest sale of any sports team in the history. The Ottawa Senators, who needed an arena downtown, that team sold for $950 million.
I'm not saying it's a good business decision.
I don't know what the hell whoever bought this team, they don't know what they're getting themselves into.
It's Michael Andlauer.
They need an arena downtown so bad. It is in the middle of nowhere. It's literally...
I've been there. Have you ever been there?
Outside of town, and it's in the middle of a parking lot.
Have you ever been there?
I have not.
I have.
But I heard it's really bad. And there's nothing around it.
No, it's a nice stadium, though. But
yeah, it looks nice. Yeah, but they need one downtown badly. Like it's pretty much the same situation that the Edmonton Oilers were in. Pretty much the exact same spot.
Rexall was right there.
It wasn't in the middle of nowhere.
It was right in town.
It was quite a ways from downtown.
No, it wasn't. Well, from downtown, it was in a huge metro area. Like, what the hell? You can't put it in downtown. Every arena can't be in downtown.
But I'm saying, like, where the Oilers are at now is that's wicked. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Right smack down middle of downtown.
I don't think the arena looks. I think it's a bad example because
Calgary going downtown?
No, Calgary is not going downtown. Have you ever been to Calgary?
Yeah.
The Saddle Dome is not that far from downtown.
Yeah, no, it's not.
So I don't understand why you're so enthralled with downtowns. Downtowns are maybe not
downtown, but a little closer to the city would be nice in Ottawa.
Okay, well, the Rexall place was really close to the city since it was in the city. I'm having a hard time figuring out what you meant there, but I mean, yes, Ottawa is an example where it's really in the middle of nowhere. Yeah,
they need to relocate and they build a new stadium.
I don't know that happens right away.
Well, I mean, you got to get a hole in the ground somewhere. You got to get a deal in place.
You need a lot of this.
Oh, I know. That's what I'm saying. That's why I don't understand how they got that much money for. Well, plus, they need to build another stadium. It's insane.
He's banking on the taxpayers.
Like, I don't know, man. That's to listen. I'm not saying I'm a millionaire and I have all this money, but it just doesn't look like a good business decision.
No, I don't think it is either. I don't think it is either. Know. I think you're buying the Arizona Coyotes would be a better business decision, but they're not for sale.
Move them wherever you want.
They're not for sale. Well, you can't move them wherever you want. It has to have league approval.
Well, I mean, it's got to go through the league and stuff. Like, I understand that, but like, you get the concept, right?
Yep, I agree. I agree with you.
And it'd probably be way cheaper to buy them too.
Well, they're not for sale.
No, I'm saying, like, if you were to buy the Coyotes, they'd be $500 million cheaper. Sure. Maybe.
I don't know anymore. I really don't know anymore.
Like, I was just because I was like, so. $950 million I was curious. I'm like, what does Forbes have these guys listed at? Like $700 million I'm like, how? Yep. I don't know. Props to like the Dodgers did a good job, and they still own 10%.
Well, they didn't even do it. They didn't do it. They hired a company, but they still have
10% of the team still. So yep. I think they did okay.
All right, time for three questions.
It's time for three questions.
It is time for three questions. Last time I threw three questions at Blake. His turn is this week. Go with question number one.
What was your favorite moment of the season? And what was your favorite moment of the playoffs?
Favorite moment of the season? The first 2 weeks when my team was 5-0. Favorite part of the playoffs? When Florida beat Toronto. I can't even believe I'm saying that. And I'm not even a hater of Toronto. That was a good series.
My favorite part of the playoffs was that 4 overtime game.
I went to bed. That was insane.
You didn't see that. That's right. That was good. That was good. Who is a surprise player that you think could be moved due to cap ramifications?
What do you mean? Like a pending UFA?
Like a player that maybe you thought wouldn't be traded, but they're in a cap pinch, so like somebody's got to go.
Nikita Zadorov?
He's not going to make that much money, is he? $4 million
Gabranson did. He's better than Gabranson.
That's another Columbus signing.
I'm just saying. Like I think, if I looked at other teams, I could name a bunch of them. I just hear so much.
You know who I think is going to get traded?
Who?
William Karlsson. I think that's going to be the guy that they move.
Let me just throw this out there. There has been a tremendous amount of talk about player movement and player trades. And what everybody is forgetting this offseason, which sucks.
Nobody has cap.
Nobody has cap. So it's really going to be hard. It's still going to happen. There's going to be a movement. Don't get me wrong. But what it's going to do is the UFAs are going to have to freaking sign right away. Or they're going to be left in the dust. And it's going to be a real weird dynamic on how the moves happen, I think.
So, I think I'm going to make a prediction here. I think
they're really good predictions.
It was a tough year for the old predictions department this year.
I got the finals right.
For both of us in the playoffs.
I got the finals right. You didn't. I got them right.
I think it's going to be one of the most busiest drafts trade-wise that we've seen in quite some time. Like, I think there's going to be lots of trades at this draft and leading up to the draft and in between the draft and July 1st. I think there's going to be a ton of movement because, like you said, teams are going to want to sign these free agents and they don't have money. You got to get creative here. Hopefully we see some hockey, like some hockey trades, you know what I'm saying?
It's
like
gonna be hard.
Star for star, I don't know.
Like it's gonna be hard.
It is hard, right? Those deals are hard to make, but I think it's gonna be a really, really busy draft.
I hope so. Question number three. Do you got her?
Yeah. Where's Patrick Waugh gonna go ahead coach?
Nowhere in the NHL.
Really? He just resigned in Quebec. Where is he going to go?
Nowhere in the NHL. Where is there a spot for him right now?
I think it's going to be Ottawa. I think DJ Smith's going to get fired.
What are they waiting to fire him for then?
Oh.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, wouldn't the timing be weird?
Yeah, I mean, not really. It's off season.
Yeah, but like, usually you cut ties right away, right?
Yeah, I mean, a guy like Patrick Waugh just came available, so why not?
Patrick Waugh was available last year.
No, he was not. He was still under contract with Quebec.
You think he can't leave that?
No, well, he could have, but I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I know what you're saying. I don't know. The way he left Colorado rubbed a lot of people in the league wrong.
It did. Yeah, it did. And he actually did an interview with this. Did you read that?
I did.
Anyway, that was a good read. I usually don't read but many articles nowadays, but that was a good one. That was a good read. You got a listener question?
Yeah, I do. But before I get to the listener question, I just want to ask you a trivia question to see if you know it. Can you name the five teams that have never played in the Stanley Cup Finals?
Ooh. Never played.
Never played.
Seattle.
Yep.
Columbus.
Yep. It shouldn't take this long.
Hang on. Minnesota.
Yep.
Arizona. Have the Buffalo Sabres been?
Yep, the Buffalo Sabres record is 0-2.
0-2?
They've lost two Stanley Cup finals.
Oh, gotcha.
The Winnipeg Jets is the last one.
Oh, yeah, Jets.
Okay, here's the list.
I was going to say the Thrashers, but like they turned into the Jets.
This question comes from Malcolm 2.0, whatever that means. Who is the nicest athlete you have met?
I got two.
Okay.
Roberto Luongo is number one. And number two, a 19-year-old John Tavares. So cool. So cool to meet him. He's in his rookie year. He absolutely torched the Canucks he had a 6-point game.
Just you met him, though? I'm asking you if you...
Yeah, no, I met him. Okay. I met him after the game. He's like, hey, you want a picture? I had a signed car. He signed my car. Like, talked to him for like 3-4 minutes. Great with the time. 19-year-old kid, like just first year in the league. Or it might have been 18 or 19. But yeah, he was really cool to meet. I got to meet Ryan Kessler once. He was pretty cool. You know, like me being a Canucks fan, like he's one of my favorite players to meet. Nicest guys I ever met.
You just gave me two. You don't need to keep going.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah. Tavares and Luongo for me. All right. The two nice.
Mine is. What about you? I've been blessed to meet a lot of the current NHL players. Steven Stamkos, I think, is the nicest one I've had conversations with. Really enjoyed visiting with him. Told me how much he cares about softball. He likes softball as much as hockey, if not more. That's nice. Cool. Yeah. Well, another off-season episode in the books.
What's their schedule going to be like moving forward here?
Next episode, next week, next Wednesday night, we will preview the NHL Awards show and draft. It will be a big, packed issue. Talk about the prospects. We'll give our picks for the awards next week, and then we head off into the real off season. We will be doing a draft recap and NHL awards recap show,
and then we'll do a signings show
and too. A signing show. That'll probably be all one show,
and then after that, it's like what, once a month?
Then we'll figure it out from there. Yeah, every 2 weeks probably through the off season. So yeah. We'll see how it goes. Enjoy this. We can't even say enjoy this week's hockey action because we have nothing to enjoy.
We are officially in the dog days of summer for sports. The only league on is baseball right now. It's tough.
It's officially Netflix season.
Hey, yeah, get on season 4 of You.
Nope, not doing it.
What do you mean?
Nope. Not doing it.
Yeah. I watched it. It wasn't that good, but it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm watching it. So,
all right, we'll see. Have a good week, everybody, and we're back next Wednesday night talking awards and draft.
Get connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey and follow the hosts on Twitter at Brad Brood and at Friars Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook, and check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at debatehockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out debatehockey.com and on Twitter at Debate Hockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.